This is episode 305 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, November the 8th, 2010.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
I don't think anyone should think this is a license to continue to breach copyright. iiNet is not responsible for stopping it.
There's no real demand for censorship of the internet in Australia. There's no other country in the Western world, at least, that's trying anything like this.
Netflix aren't better at anything, but we think we've got something, and we call it the iPad.
And today, we're delighted to be present at the creation of digital radio in Australia.
Senator Conroy is completely botching the implementation of this filtering policy of his.
For adults who want to be able to watch the other material, we're not proposing to do that.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello everybody, I'm Andrew McCollum and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. Banks and telcos are a hot topic for discussion these days, both around the office water cooler and in the mainstream media. And unfortunately, the subject of discussion is the same, ripping off consumers. The ACCC, Australia's consumer watchdog, has been tasked with trying to keep the bastards honest, but it's certainly becoming a hard task. This past week saw Graeme Samuel's team have a deserved win over Optus, Australia's number two telco, over misleading consumers with its super-fast broadband offering. The advertisements offered large broadband quotas split into peak and off-peak quotas, accompanied by the words, "Think bigger." The ACCC argued that they were misleading because they did not adequately disclose that if a customer used all of their peak allowance, the service would be throttled back to 64 kilobits per second, both for the peak usage and, more importantly, for the off-peak usage. The judgment stated that after the peak allowance was depleted, the customer would not get the benefit of any of the remaining off-peak entitlement at broadband speeds. Justice Nye Perham said that the plans misrepresented the quantity of broadband that Optus was offering to provide. He said the customers were not being sold plans which gave them the nominated amount of broadband. They were given plans which had the amount as maximum usage, which could be obtained, and even then, only by careful use. He went on to say that the plans in question did not have the quantity suggested for them. They were not 120 gigabytes, 150 gigabytes, or 170 gigabyte plans at all. Justice Perham also rejected arguments by Optus that the misleading nature of the advertisements was reduced by the statement Optus makes or seeks to have made on its behalf at the point of sale. Optus had argued that advertisements only serve to put customers on inquiry and that the full details of the plan were disclosed at the point of sale. The ACCC had sought to have the throttled speed labelled as sub-broadband, although Justice Perham found in favour of Optus on the issue of the impact of the 64 kilobit throttle speeds, believing a reference to it in the footnote was sufficient. The icing on the cake for consumers was delivered late Friday, when Justice Perham placed an injunction on Optus preventing the telco from engaging in similar advertising campaigns for a period of 3 years. He also ordered Optus to pay all of the ACCC's court costs, an outcome welcomed by ACCC Chair Graeme Samuel. In a statement by Graeme Samuel, he said that the judgment reinforces the ACCC's long-held position that this approach is not an acceptable commercial practice and does not reflect what the law requires. Companies cannot rely on their call centres to correct advertisements that have been misled and deceive people. Seems like this round is over, though. Consumers won, Optus zero. But how many more rounds does there have to be?
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
The CSIRO has invented new wireless internet technology that will give people in remote areas faster broadband by using old analog TV channels. iBooks are now available on Apple's Australian App Store. Facebook admits apps share user data. iPhone flash converter melts down. And gingerbread scheduled for a November baking. First up, though, here's Dr. Ron with this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio News Desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, engineers begin investigating an Airbus A380 engine explosion. The ABC's Four Corners says that small businesses are being stung by phone rorts. An American woman refuses to pay damages in an online music piracy case. And the Space Shuttle Discovery is grounded by Mission Control until leaks are repaired. Welcome to Tech Talk News. A Qantas flight out of Singapore on Thursday last week had to make an emergency landing after a catastrophic engine failure. At about 4,000 feet, the Airbus A380's number 2 engine apparently exploded, with debris hitting the left wing of the aircraft and some pieces landing on Singapore's Batam Island below. The aircraft, flight QF32, bound for Sydney, returned to Singapore and landed safely. Mr. Peter Marazecki is an aircraft engineer and maintenance expert at the University of New South Wales. He spoke on government radio last week and said that it was too early to tell what had caused the mid-air malfunction.
Just based on the photos, and it's very hard to make any formal assessment, but it appears that the engine has an internal failure, a rather major failure, and it's caused the outside of the engine to rupture and the fan exit ducting to be ripped off the left-hand side of the engine.
The engine itself is a Rolls-Royce Trent 900 turbine, and Rolls-Royce engineers will assist Qantas and Air Transport Safety Bureau investigators to determine the cause of the malfunction. Qantas has grounded its fleet of A380s indefinitely, while Rolls-Royce urged airlines that operate the Trent 900 turbines to conduct precautionary checks. No one was injured in the incident. The ABC's current affairs program, Four Corners, last week exposed what it says is a scam in Australia's telecommunications industry. Four Corners says that small businesses have been stung by finance deals which promise free laptops, plasma televisions and other equipment, all paid for by a single phone bill. The scheme has been brought to the attention of the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, and Macquarie Bank is allegedly being investigated about its involvement in the scheme. Four Corners said that consumers are routinely misled about what they're signing up for and end up paying grossly inflated prices for equipment they were told would come at no extra cost. The chairman of the ACCC, Mr. Graeme Samuel.
We're dealing with potentially tens of millions of dollars of money that's involved and potentially significant losses to small business that they can't afford.
Mr. Samuel said that the ACCC had experienced varying levels of cooperation from large financial institutions, including Macquarie Bank, which had been chasing around 300 small businesses through the courts for payment of large accounts.
I'd like to think that when the chairman of the ACCC approaches a CEO of a major organisation like this and says, based on all my own commercial experience and based on what we believe at the ACCC is a fair and reasonable way forward, that they'd listen to it and react receptively. I have to say we're not encouraged by the reaction at this point in time.
Four Corners said the ACCC was now involved in legal action against 28 parties involved in the telco finance deals. A woman from Minnesota is refusing to pay $1.5 million to 6 record companies for illegally downloading 24 songs. The high-profile digital piracy case found Ms. Jamie Thomas Rassett liable of copyright infringement for using Kazaa peer-to-peer file sharing to illegally download songs. She was ordered to pay $62,500 for each of the 24 songs, totaling $1.5 million. However, an attorney for Ms. Thomas Rassett said last week that the mother of four will not be paying the damages after a judge cited an earlier decision as being wholly disproportionate and oppressive. The 6 record companies, including Capitol Records, Sony BMG Music, and Warner Brothers Records, welcomed the decision, but they said they were now focusing their efforts on internet service providers rather than pursuing individuals. And NASA has delayed the launch of Space Shuttle Discovery until the 30th of November at the earliest because of a gaseous hydrogen leak. The Discovery's current launch window closes today, Monday the 8th of November, and it's unlikely that repairs will be completed in time. The shuttle was originally delayed a few days owing to inclement weather, as well as a fuel leak, a gaseous helium leak, and an unrelated nitrogen leak. The latest problem was detected during filling of the Discovery's external fuel tank. The final flight of Space Shuttle Discovery will transport critical spare parts to the International Space Station. The mission will also feature 2 spacewalks to conduct maintenance work and to install new components. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
She's here to answer all your questions and more about beer and mosh pits.
Bacon.
Yeah. It's unfair to say they're a late entry into the smartphone market because they were one of the first players.
Kids thought it was great too.
Yeah, they're big, make a lot of noise, and they smell.
Question here, this is Coro. Have you worked out? We're doing it backwards because Dr. Ron's not here to keep us in order this evening.
The creepy old man breathing over your neck at the library.
We've been speaking about this since 2005.
Do you use Mobile Me?
No.
Why did you install the Google toolbar? And they say, I didn't. It just appeared one day.
The 2 key variables when choosing a host for a blog are usually storage and bandwidth.
Last week, Graeme, you alluded to an event which was forthcoming.
I can't do 70 meg right now.
See, that's why we get a bad reputation.
Oh, is it me, is it?
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Hello, everybody. I'm Andrew McComb. In the studio this evening, everybody's here this evening, including JD. Hello, JD. You can get the honour of going the first gong this evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Yes, two MacBooks on the studio. Now,
fantastic.
Look, you know, people call us biased, but there's space on the bench for more.
We need Adam to come in with his.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a busy week this week. He's saying on emails and things like that today. But yes. Dr. Ron, you made it back this week too. Did you find him somewhere?
Thanks
you?
For having me back.
Says he, pointing at JD.
Yeah, found Justin and went on an excursion last week looking for him, found him. Brought him back, and we're all here now, all together again. One big happy family, isn't it?
Yes. We missed you last week.
Oh, thank you. It's very kind. It was a good show. I listened on Stitcher.
You got stitched?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Stitcher.com. If you search for Tech Talk Radio at Stitcher.com, that's a great service.
Yeah, if you've got a... What do you need for it? You need a...
All you need is a mobile device, and if you've got lots of bandwidth left over every month...
Yeah, you also need a big data plan, don't you?
Yeah, it's not too bad, though. It's not, I don't think it eats into it...
And we don't know. It spoils our records of how many people have listened to the podcast.
Yeah, because we don't get the stats. No, that's the only problem.
Anyway, so welcome back. And Graham's here this evening. Hello, Graham.
Hello, Andrew.
Good to see you brought the old IBM ThinkPad in.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
And down the very end on is Lena. Lena's back in for more. Obviously, there's a problem here. You obviously like us.
Yeah.
Well, you enjoy doing this. Welcome back.
Thank you.
The little decal you've got on your notebook thing. It's something eating an apple.
It's Yoshi.
Yoshi.
Yoshi eating.
Who's Yoshi?
He's a little Mario character.
Is he?
He likes to eat apples.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah. I think. No, I don't.
No.
I'm not a gamer. Does it show?
Yeah, a little bit.
Anyway, interesting show we've got lined up for everyone this week. Lots of interesting things have happened. We've got about three shows to go before the big penultimate Dr. Ron, Dr. Graham extravaganza down the road.
What's all this I heard last week? You broke this news.
We didn't break it.
I told you, I was just pulling your leg. It was a joke, and now you've gone and told everyone.
We just played the CD you gave us.
Oh, crikey.
And I'm going to pull you up on your use of the English language there, since we're so good at getting stuck into poor Adam for his adobes.
Oh, there's one of those tonight?
Yeah.
What did I say wrong?
Well, isn't it the last show?
No. There's going to be some in 2011.
But, I mean, the last show for the year.
No.
That you're talking about.
The penultimate. No, then we're going to repeats.
Well, the penultimate means the one before the last one.
It's the second last one. So the one at...
The penultimate is the one before the last.
Isn't it? I thought the penultimate objective was to climb Mount Everest and everything else on the way down.
No, the penultimate objective is to climb if the ultimate is to survive, is to live, I suppose. No, penultimate's the one before the last one.
Okay, I stand corrected. Thank you.
There are adobe warnings in this program.
Beware, there are adobe warnings.
Yes, Adam has since been chained into the dungeon. He's been gagged, bound, and
has
he's not being let out until he says, Adobe.
Oh, dear. That's funny. A lot of people have commented about that, too. But anyway, we won't dwell on that this evening, shall we? Would you like to kick the evening's proceedings off with the correspondence that needs to be tabled on the green table here in the studio?
I'd love to. The way you can send us correspondence is via email, feedback@techtalkradio.com.au. You can go to our forum, which is at forum.techtalkradio.com.au. You can join us live in the chat room. And you know what that address is. And Darren from the UK is there. JD _ is there on top of JD.
We did a big purchase from the UK the other day. Bought some new gear. You'll hear that on the 6th.
You will. We made a big purchase, didn't we? Gryffindor, Laney is there. Andrew's there. 107.6 Bar FM.
Who?
Oh.
Well,
ooh.
A new person, Lena, Warlock, GC, myself, Clay. Come and join us if you're listening live. Bretto on the Tech Talk Radio forum says, I cannot take it anymore. Please. The quality of HD TV is crap. If you want HD, then buy Blu-ray disc player or download it. Let's get more free-to-air old stuff and new stuff. Standard def is fine for free-to-air television. Get over it. Bretto, I sense the desperation, frustration, and annoyance in your voice.
Bretto, you should try making the stuff and then see how they crucify it before it goes to air. But anyway,
Bretto says,
that's another story.
Standard def is okay for free-to-air. If you want high def, go Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Stop. He's telling him, stop ranting and raving about high def on TV.
But it's important to get your 24-hour news service in high def, so with all that footage shot on, handy cams.
High def pixelation.
And people's mobile phones and stuff that's
How
on the news.
How dare you want value for your money with your gadget you've spent thousands on? How dare you?
How dare you?
But the newsreader will look good, Graham.
The newsreaders look great.
You can see all the lines in their faces and their dodgy makeup
and little nostril hairs.
Speaking of speaking of Blu-ray discs, the Back to the Future trilogy came out in just the other day on Blu-ray.
Oh, really?
You know the doc?
Yeah.
Go and have a look at the dodgy makeup in HD Blu-ray on that.
Oh, no.
It's sad. But anyway, you can sort of see it all stuck around his face. But that's just what we've got to get used to there. Because you never used to see that on VHS when it came out. It was all a blur.
But originally it was in the cinemas. It would have had to look good on the big cinema screen.
I was about to say that. Why didn't we notice it up close and personal on the big screen?
Well, it's because you're too interested in the story. You don't
notice
it.
First time around.
It's like that first time you met your wife, you know. You sort of, it's a halo of beauty.
And the first time we saw Star Wars, we just pretended we couldn't see the matte lines around the TIE fighters, but now we can.
That's right, exactly right, Graham. Thank you.
But we know they're there.
Oh, yes.
And isn't that good news? Mr. Lucas has got, this is not the movie Tech Talk show, but we've got Mr. Lucas bringing out 3D versions of Star Wars very shortly, too.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you're not happy with that?
How do you do 3D out of an old...
All these things in computers, you'll lift off a few layers and bring a few layers forward and remaster it out and rejig it, and it'll look fantastic, and the people will go and see it. It's like praying to the god of Dolby and stuff, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Aren't Dolby sound?
Yeah, all that.
Yeah,
but he's got the sound thing. He's got Lucas. All
3D sound.
Yes, but he's not Dolby Labs. Dolby Labs is a different organization.
Yeah, he is. That's correct. He's got Lucas sound,
just to be clear.
Just throwing it all into the mix. Then.
Cisco from Oklahoma says, online shopping, which you were talking about in your last episode.
I still haven't got any of mine yet. I bought some more stuff. Anyway, off you go.
I've
been shopping.
Hi, guys. Hi, Cisco. I wanted to comment about online shopping. I'm currently employed as a private security guard, and even though my job is technically only to observe and report, I occasionally need to get a little more hands-on in the
field.
Especially
if you're in America.
Don't
we
all?
Know what you need.
Recently, I had to purchase a utility belt, handcuffs, cuff case, pepper spray, and pepper spray holster.
Is that a shop item in the United States? Probably
I
is,
think
isn't
so.
It?
Probably is, yeah. Really standard.
Are you allowed to buy that?
Yeah, you get that sort of stuff when you get
your
corn flakes.
That's a good point. I was reading this email when it originally came in, Lena, and I'm looking through that list. I'm thinking, he's going to have a hell of a time getting that through customs when he tries to get it posted back to Australia. But, of course, he's not in Australia.
No, he's one of our US listeners.
Yeah.
He's in Oklahoma. So, locally, says Cisco, I priced the items at a handful of local security and police supply stores. The best I could find was $185. The store owners were completely inflexible on the prices, and one of them even said to me, well, if you don't buy from one of us, then I guess you don't really want to work security, do you?
That's what you call buying from Telstra. It's a monopoly. You buy it at this rate or else you go somewhere else.
Well, says Cisco, I went online and found everything I needed, including a few extras, for a grand total of just $74.60.
Bargain.
Bargain, less than half the price. I know that not everyone needs this type of equipment, but for those of us who do work in extremely specialised fields, like security, the internet is arguably the best place to keep from getting gouged by a lack of local competition. Cheers, keep up the good work. Cisco, thanks.
Well done, Cisco. There's also ShopBot in Australia too, which I use quite a bit, just to give you a good feel of what market prices are when you're buying gadgets from electronics through to clothing through to everything. They've got it all there. It's good.
Our illustrious chat room moderator, GD.
Where is he at the moment?
Says via
is he on an A380 somewhere over the Pacific?
He is.
No, he won't.
He's hanging on for grim life. No, I think he's in San Francisco as we speak.
A lovely airport.
I think he's transiting through.
There's free Wi-Fi in San Fran. Hopefully
Frisco.
You're listening to us.
Yes. Now, he says, it's been a lot of fun. It was worth it just to see Discovery up close and personal and almost ready to go. He went all the way to the Kennedy Space Center to see Discovery take off on its final mission, and they've postponed it of November.
So he's had to come home. He's going to miss out.
Yep, he made about three or four trips in the bus early in the morning to actually go to the launch pad, and each time it got postponed. The sight of it, says GD, will stay with me for the rest of my life. It was absolutely awesome.
Aww.
I fly back to San Fran tomorrow morning. There you go, he's in San Francisco. Have to take the airport shuttle at 0115. Ouch. He says, GD, have a safe trip back, and we're glad that you enjoyed the trip anyway. It's a bit disappointing you didn't get to see the blast off, but.
And he sent us something.
He sent us this.
Hi, this is Shuttle Astronaut Jim Riley, and I'm welcoming you to Tech Talk Radio.
Yep, see, we've got Shuttle Astronauts on the show. How about that?
Wow.
He didn't do the music pick, I did that.
No, isn't that a great one? So, Jim Riley, who's one of the crew on STS-133, he's done a little promo for us.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
We don't get too many shuttle. We should get Andy on one day. He's really good.
Andy Thomas.
Correct.
Is an Australian astronaut. Warlock, in our chat room says, the TikTok Radio iPhone app is now available, woohoo. So for all of those people out there who like iPhones and iPhone apps,
okay, then
have a look at the App Store. JD, you need, we need it installed in the next half hour. Just use iTunes to search for it, like any other app, says Warlock, and click on it to download and install. Then a quick sync, and it's done. Very easy.
Excellent.
Thank you very much, Warlock. Good job.
Tried it yet on your...
I don't have an iPhone, but Mrs. Dr. Ron has an iPod Touch.
Warlock's saying online here that it's not approved yet, Dr. Ron.
Does that mean it's available?
No. If it hasn't been approved, it means Steve hasn't checked it out.
Oh, okay. So we're still waiting for... Well, watch this space then. Very, very soon it'll be approved. It'll be available.
So you can't... Yes, you can't do it in the next half hour, JD, as you were.
Well, try anyway. Maybe. See if it's there. It might have been approved. I don't know what the approval process is. How long does that usually take, JD?
I have no idea. I've never tried to approve an app, so I don't know.
Probably by the end of the week.
If you're Adobe, a very long time.
In the chat.
Very good. It's taken Adobe a very long time.
Elroy says maybe two weeks.
Yep.
And former TikTok radio panelist and US correspondent Mark Diggins.
He's coming home.
He says, hi, TTR team. The family will be returning to Melbourne early next year.
I suppose you want your chair back.
Yeah, Mark. Come on, you have to make a good case for it. And this got me thinking what stuff I might want to take back with me. Specifically, I'm looking for help with direction on a home entertainment system. I have in Melbourne a 42-inch plasma TV, and the kids have a Wii. But for this exercise, assume that I could upgrade in the future to something else. So I hear a lot on Tech Talk Radio, says Mark, about this topic, but still don't know which way to go. To make it simpler, I'll say up front that I'm not an Apple person. So let's leave that out of the equation. No offence intended, Justin/Adam/Lena. I'm looking for your thoughts, ideas and experiences with devices you hook up to your TV. So Mark's thinking Windows Media Center. He's thinking PS3. He's thinking WDTV Live or old school Blu-ray player, hard disk video recorder, something like that.
What'd you tell him?
I haven't told him anything. I thought we'd talk about it for a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Any ideas?
PlayStation 3 is a good place to start.
PlayStation 3, good option.
Pick one up in the States. They work here because mine does, and it was really good. I got mine from Best Buy's, which was very good at the time because it was a big hard drive and very cheap.
So Mark could buy it from over there and bring it back, and it's not going to have any problems. What about NTSC versus PAL with video?
No. Well, you're not working in that domain anymore. You're working in a digital thing. But hang on, before we go on, there are some issues with the PS3 in this country. The only issue that I have found... And I'm pointing at Lena because this is radio. She's thinking of games. I'm thinking of television because you cannot play Australian DVDs in them. You've got to buy the Blu-rays, and the Blu-rays seem to work anything. Anything I've put into it's played, whether it be an Australian region or US or wherever it is. Now, Lena, what were you going to say?
You might have a region unlocked.
Yeah, the ones you buy in the States are. Yeah.
All of them?
I'm pretty sure they are, according to the man at Best Buys. But it would be paid to check out, and someone will tell us, no doubt.
Okay, cool. And the games,
all the games, every game I've ever played and downloaded works here in Australia from a US point of view.
That's good.
Well, Mark says he's thinking of issues like region coding, which we just talked about. 110 volts here versus 220 volts there, meaning here, US, there,
The PlayStation 3s have a universal power supply, so nothing to worry about.
Okay, that's good. NTSC versus PAL we spoke about.
Just glow a little
digital,
brighter.
We don't have to worry about video formats. Digital signal format of TV here is different to that in Australia. That's interesting. That's the DVB-T format.
Yes, but your PlayStation 3 doesn't record any... It doesn't receive any television.
Doesn't have a tuner in it. No. Okay. Price, I'm not looking for the greatest necessarily. And WAF, goes without saying, really.
WAF. PlayStation 3 is good. It appeases WAF and kid factor.
Mm.
That's
isn't,
really good.
Isn't there a television receiver add-on for the PlayStation 3?
There is. Lena?
Play TV.
Oh, sorry, I'm going to push you up. I can't hear you.
I think it's Play TV. Is that
yes.
The one you're talking about?
Yep. Yes, I think Adam wrote about it in the Green Guide this week.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh.
Don't you follow Adam on Twitter?
Of course I do. Yeah, I read everything. Of course you do. Yeah, I read everything.
So you'd buy, even if you brought back your PlayStation 3, you'd buy your Play TV in Australia, perhaps.
Yeah, and it would work on our television system go from there. But that's if you wanted to record on it, and it will. It lets you record. It's like a PVR interface, but instead of recording it on a hard drive in a PVR, you're recording it on your hard drive in your PlayStation 3.
Yep.
And the other great thing about the PS3, good eye view. You won't get eye view like you do on a PlayStation 3 or any of the other. Yeah. If you've got a free ISP that gives you free access to the ABC's video on demand service, the Bravia video and all that sort of stuff doesn't work too flash, but the PlayStation does it beautifully.
Adam Turner's impromptu advice in the chat room, Mark, is get a TiVo, Sony Blu-ray player, and a WDTV Live.
Yep. WTV Live. Love those. They're really good. We have WD, WDTV Wars in the office now. Right click and send to from any Windows 7 machine. You can change the movie, change the sound midstream.
That must be very frustrating when you're in the middle of editing something.
Well, yes. What's really frustrating when you're in the middle of editing something, the Bravias appear on it as well. So you can be seeing the editing away.
Yeah.
And someone will send music. You get a record cover pop up on your edit monitor.
That's
very frustrating.
It's very, very frustrating. It's very silly.
But yeah, and you get the album art. So it works really well. That's the WDTV.
Is there no way to secure that so that you can't have strange people sending you stuff to your screen?
Unplug the Ethernet out of the back of the television set.
Got to be a better way.
Dear. It's good, isn't it? Yeah, you know, 5 years ago, we didn't have Ethernet in the back of our television sets, did we? It's good the way it's all turning out now.
How long before somebody in, China or Indonesia will be able to send random stuff to your TV screen without your permission? I wonder if this is the way it's going to go.
Well, who knows?
Randomly playing videos on your screen.
The goal.
Anyway, Mark, hopefully that's confused you even more so than you were, but from a video media centre type sort of thing, the PlayStation's great for family and all that sort of stuff, but if you're looking for the video, as Adam sort of come up on the chat and said, Bravia
internet video,
off the screen. Oh, here it is.
Fire TV, that one.
Get a TiVo, Sony Blu-ray player, and a Western Digital TV Live.
Can't go wrong.
Don't know about the TiVo, but that's me.
Mark, right. We'll ever talk to you when you get back. That'll be good. That's all the correspondence, Andrew.
Oh, excellent.
feedback@techtalkradio.com.au is the address.
Around the world, you're listening to Australia's premier tech talk show, Tech Talk Radio.
And it all happened this week in the land of Optus and ACCC with the number two incumbent. Well, are they incumbent? No, Telstra's really incumbent, isn't it? They've always been here. But Optus have been probably the second incumbent, if there is such a word, for those liking to correct me on my grammar this evening. Are they the penultimate telco?
The penultimate telco.
No.
No.
As opposed to the ultimate? Well, we won't go there.
There isn't an ultimate telco anymore.
No.
Anyway, what's happened is that finally the ACCC said enough is enough when it comes to misleading consumers about broadband. What they're basically doing in a nutshell is, let's say I said to you guys, oh, you can buy a gig of bandwidth and 500 gigs off-peak and or half it's off-peak and half of it's on-peak if there is peak time.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, what happened was basically if you exceeded any one of those peaks or off-peaks, you were shaped, regardless of whether you had exercised your rights in any of the other areas.
Did you happen to use the word unlimited in your description?
No.
No?
Why?
I was just wondering.
No.
Yeah, so, okay, go on. So, what's the issue?
So, the issue is that you've got 500 peak, 500 off-peak, totaling a gig.
Yep.
As soon as you use up all of any one of those.
Oh, okay. So
you were capped.
Okay.
So you could only. They said, "Oh, you've got a gig of bandwidth." No, you haven't. You've got 500.
500.
Yeah, and that's paraphrasing a lot of stuff. But
you could have a minimum of 500.
Yeah, that was the minimum.
Oh, sorry, a maximum. You could have a maximum of 500
if you used all of your peak before you used off peak, or you used all your off peak before you used your peak.
But you didn't get shaped just for that period. You got shaped for the whole lot.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now, I'm with a different provider, and they have this peak and off-peak. But if you're shaped for peak, your shaping comes off during the off-peak period, so you can continue to use your off-peak allowance.
And that would make a lot of sense.
That would make a lot of sense, and I'm sure if Optus did that, then the ACCC might not have an issue.
I was in that situation a while back, and at 2 in the morning, my speed went up from very slow to full speed again.
I saw an email come through from Dr. Ron this evening. Looks like you're about to be shaped, my friend.
I have been shaped.
You have
and
been shaped?
It was normal.
I thought your hair was a little different this evening.
Normal programming will be restored in about 3.5 hours. So
that's okay.
Yeah, so I went hammer and tong because
up to the edge, did
you? Because I was approaching the end of my month.
I didn't notice the edge coming a week and a half before.
Oh, that's always bad.
See, if you've got kids, that's a real problem. I'm unfortunately, my kids aren't that bad yet.
I've got another route anyway, so I can just change my DHCP server and all my machines to switch over to another route. So.
That's extremely tricky. Most people don't have that.
I know. I'm a special needs
even
case.
Even I don't have that at home.
So it's okay. I'm not. It's just my primary route that I use for internet is a little bit slow at the moment.
Oh, diddums. Yeah, it happens from time to time.
Diddums indeed.
Just a footnote to our talking about Optus before too. The ACCC then tried to take out an injunction against Optus from advertising this in this form of way
for a number of years.
For 5 years. That's a big ask. No broadband advertising or super fast broadband, whatever they were doing.
Is that what it meant? Because I thought it was just this type of advertising, but advertising broadband at all.
Well, yeah, and once again, it's open to interpretation because we're just reading what's been on the thing. But it looks like they were saying that, if they're trying to go down this line, whether it's super fast or, you know, because the ad in concern was this deer. I don't know whether you've seen it. I had a look at it for it on YouTube. But this deer breaks the sound barrier and does all sorts of things like that, which is all good and fine. But there's a lot of terms and conditions missing from the television commercial. Now, as a maker of television commercials, I deal with Free TV Australia on a regular basis, and I know what their requirements are. So it's interesting to note that they actually got this through Free TV Australia anyway. This is the same organisation that, you know, got Philip Nitschke's ad pulled off and all that sort of stuff. So they've got a fair bit of bite. But
Optus have probably got more bite.
Well, I don't know. Maybe Telstra have. Mm. You would think Telstra would have when they said it's everywhere you want it, referring to Next G, and they got
clobbered
across the coals in that one.
But again, by the ACCC, not by the free TV people. No.
Yeah. Mm. So, but anyway, the 5-year injunction was sought, and apparently a 3-year injunction was granted. So I don't know whether that means that they can advertise dial up or whether they can advertise mobile broadband, but I think they might have some issues with their fixed-line broadband.
So Optus has been capped by the ACCC now.
Capped, shot in the kneecaps.
Yeah, kneecapped.
So no ADSL from you boys, or very limited flow, or very regulated flow of advertising, I think, because they've burnt the consumer on one too many occasions there. So well, I thought that was quite interesting during the course of the week. All right, in other interesting news this week, the CSIRO, says he's trying to find his notes. Did you hear about this? Have developed new technology which enables the use of old analog television channels in country Victoria and country anywhere, actually, for use of ADSL. Well, ADSL for high-speed broadband on it, which sounds really quite interesting.
Using the existing, like people's existing antennas. So they can leave their antennas up on the roof, on their roofs.
Yep.
And
yeah,
they
exactly.
can pull down broadband signals.
Yeah, the first half of the CSIRO's, I think it's called Ngara technology, is how they're pronouncing it, will enable multiple users to upload information at the same time without reducing the individual system's data transfer rate of around 12 megabits per second. Now, they're talking about even faster than that, but this could also be a bit of a reincarnation of, what was that thing that the Liberal Party were going to talk about, the WiMAX?
WiMAX, yes.
Yeah.
For country Victoria.
Yeah,
country Australia.
Yes, similar sort of thing. But this is, anyway, we'll see what happens here. But the CSIRO's spectral efficiency is 3 times that of the closest comparable technology, and the data rate is more than 10 times the industry recently declared minimum standard. Spectral efficiency is about packing as many bits of information as possible into the channel allocated for its transmission. The CSIRO's 12 megabits per second, 6-user system works in the space of one television channel, which is the equivalent of 7 megahertz wide. Remember the good old days? 7 meg TV channel. But anyway.
That's right. It's the bandwidth of the radio signal, isn't it?
Absolutely.
7 megahertz.
Wonderful, wonderful technology. But I'd still make the point that it's vital that this sort of technology should be used for filling in the gaps where you just cannot get a cable or a fibre connection in.
I agree.
To use wireless as a primary delivery of broadband or of anything, really, is... you know, other than broadcasting, where it makes sense, but to use wireless as the primary delivery of broadband is a big, big mistake, and it will bite us in the bum if we go down that track. And this is something I've been talking about for a while.
Dr. Ian Opperman is the CSIRO's guru behind this. Is what he had to say.
We are 100 times faster. In fact, close to 200 times faster than a dial-up modem. The person sitting in rural areas can actually become the content generator as opposed to just the content consumer. So, you know, whilst it might make email, Facebook and movie downloads faster, what we're really trying to do is enable people who live in remote and rural areas to have access to generation of content so they can contribute to the services economy in the same way as someone sitting in an urban environment.
Look, it certainly sounds like it's a viable technology, and in a small cluster environment, in a small community, it's got a lot going for it. Becoming content creators as well also intrigues me. What does that mean? Does that mean they can become their own radio station, or does that mean they can run their own web service?
It means they
can
provide any service that can be delivered over the internet can be created and served. Again, using wireless, putting your server on the end of a wireless link is something I wouldn't recommend as the first choice, but in areas where there's no other choice.
If everybody knows everyone else, then it could be a good little community hub, couldn't it?
Oh, certainly could. Could certainly be used in that way, yeah. Now, this comes out of Australia's very own CSIRO.
And guess where they got the money from?
Yeah, you and me.
No.
No?
Microsoft.
Oh, the patent claims.
All the people that nicked the patent technology.
Stole Wi-Fi.
Now, the CSIRO is the Commonwealth Correct. Scientific and Industrial Research Organisation, which is a Australian government organisation.
They have their own namespace,
government-funded organisation. They do have their own namespace, not CSIRO.
That's just that's how important domain. They are.
They are very important on a worldwide level. These are the people that brought you Wi-Fi. These guys invented Wi-Fi.
They did. It was part of World War II it all started, wasn't it? Going back to the good old days.
Does it go back that far?
It does. Sure. You should have a look at the history of it. That's when it all sort of started.
I can imagine it does, interpreting radar signals and that sort of stuff.
That's where it came from,
This is an amazing service that the Australian government provides to Australia and to the world.
Indeed it is. So hopefully it'll be used for good. We won't sort of see it rolled out like an Opel type sort of thing.
Yes, to be used for good instead of badness.
I'd like to talk a little bit now about the Apple iPhone and its lack of flash. An entrepreneurial organisation built a little... there's a big sigh coming from a flash user, from an iPhone user. Anyway, a fairly...
Editorial by Lena.
In the United States, I'm assuming it was the United States, a company built a little application called Skyfire, which... basically went to number one on Apple's App Store incredibly quickly. What this device did was it enabled iPhone, or should I say iGadget users, to see Flash, something which is foreign to most iGadget users.
I use it. It was great.
You've used this application, have you? Okay, well...
what did you use it on?
Hang on, we'll just...
It was really just testing to see if I could use Flash on the phone, just because it was new and there and you could...
And it worked okay?
Yeah.
And was it quick?
No.
Did you manage to do it when everyone else had cottoned on to what it was?
This is when it was brand new.
Oh, when it was brand new? Mm. Okay, so what happens was you'd go to a page, and correct me if I'm wrong here, JD, but you go to a page, if there was Flash on it, it'd be sent off to the Skyfire servers where it'd be translated into HTML5 and sent back to the phone, and
That's right.
Would then display on your handset. So we've got a middleman jumping in between you and the web page that you're trying to view.
Which is no different, because all the BlackBerry devices work that way, so there's nothing new about this.
Oh, that's good. And it worked all right for you to a point until everybody else cottoned on. No, you said you were in the beginning phase before it ran into the ground.
Well, like most early adopters, there's expectations.
Yeah. But it must have been a ray of light for iGadget users to finally be able to see websites.
Well, I wanted to watch iView, you see.
Well, see, that's a massive... Yes, you would, wouldn't you? Especially on your iGadget. Because the iPad, which I have... you're limited with the ABC app, which still doesn't really let you do iView on it, does it? So, but that'd be good. Take the iPad to bed, catch up on a few ABC programs and things like that. I thought that was really quite good. So Skyfire, sold out currently. I've never known a digital download to be sold out, but apparently it's sold out.
Because they got too many users.
Ran out of capacity,
Optus's mobile phone network. And the servers have actually fallen over recently as well.
Yeah.
So not good.
Okay. All right. But yes, good to see. In other news this week, Google... This is going to be very interesting. We're seeing some new rivalry kick in here between Google and Facebook. But Google will begin blocking Facebook and other web services from accessing its user information, highlighting an intensifying rivalry between major internet giants. Google will no longer let other services automatically import its users' email contact data for their own purposes, unless the information flows both ways. It accused Facebook, in particular, of siphoning up Google contact data without allowing for automatic import and export of Facebook's users' information.
So we're taking it out of users' hands. Facebook's automatically doing this, is it?
Anyone can do it. Any of the large organizations which have an agreement with Google can take information from their system, which in a lot of respects is a privacy-related issue, but that's by the by here. They're just harvesting information. It's like on the Android phones that we have at the moment. You probably noticed that you'll push the link button and it pulls in all the relevant information out of Facebook and populates your Google contacts with it and things like that. That's all part of the parcel. And this is where we're starting to see a bit of, you know, you scratch our back and we'll scratch yours. But if you don't scratch ours, you're not going to get anything from us. And of course, Google being the biggest, why would you?
You see, I was looking at your contacts in your Android phone a couple of weeks ago and you had an entry for me in your address book. and I had my Facebook profile pic as the little thumbnail.
It does.
And I said to you, "How'd you do that? Did you just hop onto Facebook and download it?" You said, "No, it just happened." And it had, so Facebook's talking to Google, and Google's talking to Facebook without your knowledge.
And it had my last tweet under my contact.
It does. It pulls it all in.
Unfortunate for you.
Well, you know.
It's scary. All these things are talking to each other and we're not even aware of it.
That's the thing, isn't it? Graham would probably have something to say about
that.
It's
a little
creepy. Being the advocate of privacy and beware of foisting things upon you that you don't really know.
There'd be dragons.
Yeah, I don't use Facebook and I have 5 people that I communicate with on Twitter.
Do you use Twitter?
I receive tweets from about 5 different people.
Okay.
And there's about 5 different people who receive tweets from... I'm not sure if they're the same 5 or not. I don't think they all are. But, yes, anyone who follows me on Twitter can be guaranteed, at least for the moment, that they're not getting Twitter stormed.
Twitter stormed. Oh, dear. All right. But, yes, interesting times, I think, are ahead when it comes to sharing of data and all that sort of stuff, because we're probably going to see a lot of that, I guess, in the next little bit.
Yes, if you put your entire life online, you get what you deserve in some ways. You find your information is spread far and wide, and you can't pull it back once it's out there.
No. And even worse so, if it's misleading. Anyway. Dr. Ron, we've got an OB coming up. Do you want to tell the people about it? Stop denying it. It's...
OB is a sort of a radio jargon. People might not know what OB means. OB stands for outside broadcast. It's when you do a broadcast from somewhere other than the radio studio, out in the real world.
No, Dr. Ron came to us and said, guys, last show, we've got to do something different. He said, what have you got in mind?
We've got to do something special, don't we?
He said, let's go and eat pizza somewhere and talk about it.
And like the last show of the year.
Not the penultimate one.
No, the ultimate one. For the ultimate Tech Talk Radio of 2010... I like what you said on the website. Have we gone mad? The answer is quite probably, quite possibly. Almost certainly. The date is Monday the 6th of December 2010. We'll be broadcasting live.
That's less than, what are we up to?
It's about
4 weeks away.
Something like that, yeah. So we'll be broadcasting live from Sophia Restaurants, which is a pizza pasta restaurant in East Burwood in Melbourne's eastern suburbs.
Good, Tucker. Family restaurant.
It's great. So there's going to be a set menu, $17.50 per person. And Sophia's obviously a proud sponsor of Tech Talk Radio. They're helping us out in a huge way by giving us access to the venue and hosting the evening for us. We'll be kicking off at about 7 p.m. and we'll be starting live, at 8 p.m. It's like we're doing the show now. We'll be doing the show now. We'll be
live
in a pizza pasta restaurant.
Absolutely.
Live to air. And plenty of parking at the rear if you want to drive. If you want to get public transport, the tram stops out the front.
There may be giveaways.
There may
not be giveaways.
And even if there's not, there'll certainly be good food. You can come down and buy a pizza and have some dinner with us.
Say g'day to us.
While you watch the show, listen to the show. Yeah, meet the listeners, meet the panellists.
The important thing is, though, to let Sophia know that you're coming.
Ah, that's what I was alluding to.
You just need to ring the restaurant, which is 03-9803-5299.
That number again.
03-9803-5299. Ring them up. Tell them that you're reserving 1 or 2 or 10 seats for the Tech Talk Christmas special on the 6th of December, and they'll cancel you in. If you forget to book, it's not the end of the world, doesn't matter. It's still rocking
up still
on the night.
Yeah, still come down anyway.
Absolutely. But it helps us for catering, and helps Sophia for catering as well, if you let them know that you're coming.
Shall I play the promo now?
Please do.
Listen up, for the final episode of 2010, Tech Talk Radio will be broadcasting live from the Sophia Family Restaurant in Burwood East. Put the date in your calendar now, Monday the 6th of December at 7 p.m. Meet the panel, meet like-minded listeners, enjoy Sophia's world-famous hospitality, and be part of Tech Talk Radio's first outside broadcast. Make your reservation now by calling Sophia on 03-9803-5299. Sophia Family Restaurant is a proud sponsor of Tech Talk Radio's 2010 end-of-year extravaganza.
If you've seen some of the stuff on YouTube, it looks a bit strange.
Whilst it is a high-def machine, it's only 720p.
Fraud-def.
Yeah, fraud-def.
Yeah, exactly.
Take note, Apple, HDMI output cable and carrying case.
Why would I want an Apple TV without a hard drive?
What you're describing is bloatware.
The handset formerly known as the iPhone.
Entertaining.
I don't like spam.
Informative.
There are public VPN services.
Independent.
They've run up to, 400, 500?
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. Andrew McComb here. Dr. Ron, Graham, JD, Lena, all in the chat, all in the studio. Come along, say g'day, chat.techtalkradio.com.au. And as we mentioned before the break, come up to the OB, the outside broadcaster, Sophia's, have a pizza with us. And meet us, say good day. Like hearing about our listeners and stuff like that. Hopefully, be the first of many. We've spent enough money on it, so.
Come along, heckle, hurl abuse.
Oh, no.
Contribute.
No throwing things, right?
Throw food. Yeah, I like good stuff.
Graham will get upset.
That's what we'll be doing. It'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Yes.
News Corp put MySpace on notice on Wednesday saying the losses of the ailing social network were not sustainable. You ever used MySpace? Any of these collective noun of presenters sitting in front of me?
Yeah, I had a MySpace page early on for about 8 minutes, and then I realised it was a stupid thing to do, and I closed it. It might even still be there, I don't know. I haven't looked at it for years.
I had one at school.
Did you?
I had one at school, but I got rid of it.
Did
pretty
you?
Quick, yeah.
MySpace.
I didn't like how everyone's backgrounds were all flashy and obnoxious and 12 songs played at once every time.
Everything was so distracting. Yes. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, 12 independent media players all on one page, and they'd start playing 12 things simultaneously. Yeah. And flashing text and animated stuff in the background. And
glitter.
It was like, what the hell is this?
Too much glitter.
Oh, way too much. Everything.
That's probably
the way the web would be if the web was designed by an 8-year-old girl.
Yep.
Rupert's pretty much sort of regretted, I think, buying this said...
Yeah, because Rupert owns MySpace.
He does.
Yep.
News Corp bought it for $580 million in 2005.
Pocket money.
Oh, yeah, but still. Anyway, MySpace, which counts over 100 million users worldwide, unveiled a redesign targeting a younger audience. They're the 8-year-olds you speak of, Graham, as it seeks to regain ground lost to Facebook, which boasts more than 500 million users, which is pretty much on the movie poster, I think, too, floating around. If you're 500 million users, you've got to get a few enemies along the way. Friends, should I say? Anyone seen it yet?
No.
I've heard good things, though, from people.
I saw the trailer. I was watching the Apple trailers the other night, and I thought, I better have a look at it. It looks very good.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, we'll get to that. In other news this week, too, which Adam is going to have a look at from the couch in just a few moments, is Apple launched its new iBook store in the Australian Apps Store.
I thought you were going to say something entirely different then.
Really? What did you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to make mention of the new Apple little tiny netbook. That's not
the Sony netbook.
The Apple netbook.
The MacBook Air.
The netbook that you're not allowed to call a netbook.
We probably should talk about it because JD would normally enlighten us on such matters, and he hasn't been here for 3 weeks or so. So have you got one yet, JD?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I haven't got a new iPhone yet.
That reaction says it all, doesn't he? Laughed at you when you asked.
But the reaction, he hasn't got a new iPhone yet. That says it all.
Nah, the thing with JD, he collects classic old stuff. Computers. Yeah, yeah. So the just recently released Macintosh netbook that you're not allowed to call a netbook.
It looks awfully like a netbook, doesn't it?
It does look awfully like it, particularly the 11-inch one. And it's got no connectors, it's got no bays, and it's got no connectors, and it's got no media.
What about battery? Has it got no battery?
Yeah, no, it's got some battery. It's got
five
some
hours
batteries,
of battery?
Isn't it? Yeah.
How does it connect? Obviously through Wi-Fi, because there's no other ports on it, is there?
Two USB ports.
The MacBook Air's been around for a while. Mm. And so there's nothing particularly new about it. So it doesn't have an optical bay or anything like that. You have to connect it by air. There's USB drop-down ports usually, although they're on the side of this one, I believe, for the look to the inches. So it does all the things that a MacBook Air would do. So it's a little bit slower. So you would consider it underpowered if you put it next to Lena's U-Boot machine here. But it's for being on the run, conserving power, and doing things.
It's a netbook. Mm.
The reviews that I've seen, again, you don't want to run high-powered applications on it. Yes, like a netbook. Except it's not running Windows, strangely enough.
It's running Mac OS, but yeah.
Which Tiger have they got on? Are they shipping the new one yet?
Lion.
Yeah.
No.
When does Lion hit the deck?
Oh, it's only been announced, so it'll be another year.
Oh, okay. Mm. Is that how Apple works? They announce it and it comes out 12 months later. Mm. Oh, good. For those in the industry, Pro Tools 9 came out during the course of the week. You're going, what? Okay, moving right along. dear. Anyway, back to Apple and the App Store in Australia, iBooks. Would you read an iBook on a device?
I do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you read?
All the classics. Ernest Hemingway and Emily Bronte and all those
sorts.
I'm
picturing you sitting up there in bed at night with your little iPad. You got an iPad?
No, I haven't got an iPad.
So what do you read on this?
On my iPhone.
On your iPhone?
Book on your iPhone?
Yep.
Gutsy.
Yeah.
Do you need the big print? How do you get it all on one page?
Well, you can pinch to enlarge and all that sort of thing, and you flick the pages with your finger, and it's very elegant user interface.
Have you bought anything off the new
one? No wonder you need those glasses.
Yeah, probably.
Well, now we're getting personal.
But it's getting harder to read things on my iPhone 4 because I cracked it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
How did you do that?
I dropped it.
Turn the screen on. Make it light up.
I have my my keys are on a lanyard, a long bit of string, and I pulled my keys out of my handbag and it hooked onto my phone.
The keyboard handbag.
Dragged the phone out with it and smashed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the case came off. I don't know if it's going to show on the camera. Oh, no.
Did it all happen in slow motion?
It did. And I saw my life flashing before my eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And every time I look at it, I die a little bit inside. So if anyone from Apple's listening, can I have a new phone?
See, I have an HTC Desire, which I flung out of the car across the bitumen at home the other day, and it's not even got a scratch on it.
There you go.
That's the difference between...
It's probably just pure chance glass. The way it lands.
I think you're right.
Pure luck.
Yeah,
I've dropped my iPhone within a couple of days of buying it, and it's fine still.
My 3G could take a really good beating, but the 4 being glass on both sides, I think, is a little bit more fragile.
So how do you read your iBooks with your cracked iPhone?
It's not that bad a crack. It's just one sort of little slice.
Once you turn the light on, I couldn't see it from over across the desk here.
You can only really see it from side on.
Can you pop it down to Windscreens O'Brien and they'll put a little thing on it for you and stop it getting the crack getting bigger?
he took one look at it and went, oh, O'Brien.
I'm sure they'd do a roaring trade for cracks of iPhones, wouldn't they?
That's not a bad business.
So
inject their little gel into it. Yeah.
Yeah, put a bit of gel across your iPhone. But
I do read books on it. I get all the classics for free, so why wouldn't I?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Adam Turner has a view from the couch on this very subject matter this week. Here he is.
Apple's iBook store is finally selling books in Australia. But does Cupertino have another category killer on its hands? Apple pushed the ebook angle hard when the iPad was first released, yet Australians were initially left out in the cold. Originally, it looked like we wouldn't get access to the iBook store at all, but Apple did a last-minute backflip. Unfortunately, all that was on offer was free public domain titles by the likes of Jules Verne and Jane Austen. After a six-month wait, paid ebooks finally came to the Australian iBook store last week, available to purchase from the iPad, iPhone and iPod Touch. Publishers working with the Australian bookstore include Macmillan, HarperCollins, Murdoch, Books, Hardy Grant and Libra Digital. Apple hasn't released the exact number of titles, but says it's in the thousands. Browsing through the store, it seems that even when you allow for GST, Australians are still getting screwed on the exchange rate. It's pretty hard to excuse when there are no physical distribution costs involved. It also seems that Amazon's US Kindle ebook pricing is roughly on par with Apple's US iBook store pricing, but it's worth noting that Amazon also really screws you on the exchange rate. Plus, with many new Kindle books, they aren't available from Amazon if you're shopping with an Australian account. So, considering all this, can the iPad become the iPod of books? In Apple's defense, I think it's fair to say that the iPod and the iPhone revolutionized their respective markets. They weren't the first MP3 player or mobile phone, but they were the ones which redefined the category and set the bar to which others aspire. Apple has a tendency to wander into a fragmented market and deliver the killer device backed by a tight ecosystem. It may not offer all the bells and whistles of the competition, but it just works. Of course, Apple's massive advertising budget doesn't hurt either. Yet even with the expanding iBook store, I wouldn't call the iPad the iPod of books. Right now, I'd say that title still belongs to Amazon's Kindle. Looking at the latest Kindles, which are smaller, lighter and cheaper than their predecessors yet offer a better screen, I'd say Apple has a real fight on its hands. The iPad is a great jack-of-all-trades, but Kindle's e-ink display means it will always be the superior device for those who just want to read books. Amazon also has the superior ebook ecosystem at this point. There are more books to choose from and you can read them on more devices, including the iPad. I think the biggest problem for all ebook parties is that punters are afraid of getting bogged down in yet another format war, especially when they're forced to take sides so early. We've faced similar hassles with movies and music, but there's always been the option to continue buying content on disc and then easily copy it to your player and digital format of choice. If you buy a new music or video player, you can always go back to the original disc and make a new copy in a different format. Obviously, things aren't as simple with books, as you're unlikely to buy a physical paperback, scan every page, and then convert it into your digital format of choice. Embracing the ebook revolution means choosing a side, choosing a device, and then turning your back on the printed page. It's a leap of faith that many people are naturally reluctant to make at this point.
Meanwhile, Google is talking about embracing the Adobe EPUB format with its new Google Edition service, which could leave both iPad and Kindle owners out in the cold. I suspect the only way Apple could slay the Kindle at this point is to embrace the Adobe EPUB format, but that would go against Apple's walled garden approach to content. If Amazon embraced the Adobe EPUB format, it could strike a killer blow against Apple, but Amazon also cherishes its walled garden. They say my enemy's enemy is my friend. It'll be interesting to see whether Apple or Amazon embrace EPUB in an effort to strike a winning blow in the ebook format world.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Now, Adam has a last-minute addendum to this week's View from the Couch. Initially, there were no Adobe EPUB-compatible apps for iGadgets, but a few weeks ago, Blue Fire Reader was released in the iTunes Store. This, says Adam, is a free iPhone and iPad app which lets you read Adobe EPUB books downloaded to your computer using Adobe Digital Editions software.
Who makes it?
Blue Fire Reader.
No. Adobe.
Adobe. Adobe. It's pretty easy to do. You just drag the books onto the iPad or iPhone using iTunes, says Adam. He's tested it with a book purchased from Dimix, and it worked first time with the iPhone 4 and the iPad.
Isn't that great?
Yep.
Great,
he says he's a little surprised that either Apple or Adobe hasn't blocked Blue Fire Reader. It's obviously not the same as an official blessing from Apple, says Adam, but it's
maybe they're not aware of what it does yet.
Great news for iGadget users, possibly. Also, he realised too late that he'd said Adobe instead of... No, he'd said Adobe instead of Adobe. I'm going to have to go out of my way to mispronounce it. It's a hard habit to break. Adam says he's sorry. Always forgiven, Adam. Come back. It's okay. Do another view. Just don't involve Adobe. It's okay. He's in the chat room now if you want to personally sledge him.
Oh, Dr. Ron.
Chat.techtalkradio.com.au.
There's a lot of sledging going on.
Where we are. That's absolutely what the show is all about. Nothing if not a good sledging opportunity.
TPG. No. TPG. An internet provider in Australia known as TPG. They're going to open up a direct Asian internet route because we don't have enough pipes leaving Australia to the rest of the world. They announced that data round trips between Sydney and Asia to fall as little as down to about 100 milliseconds.
How are your ping times, Lena?
That's a personal question.
Oh, yeah. Whew, wasn't ready for that. Yeah, they're pretty average. Yeah, I'm happy with them.
Pretty average?
Yeah.
Are you comparing the fact that you're on the extremes of ADSL2 plans and you're relishing in the speeds of ADSL1 despite being ADSL2 customers?
Yeah. Well, explain to us about what you were saying before off air about you're a bit confused about the type of internet connection you had.
Oh, yes, you did. Yeah. You wanted some radio time to clarify this. Off you go.
You discovered you had ADSL2+.
Yes, I do. And I knew I did, but I sort of stumbled because, you see, when you're sitting here talking, you can be caught off guard by Andrew putting his little finger on the button, which you sometimes think he's reaching over to put his finger on the button because he wants you to shut up and
don't watch
move
what
on.
I do. I stuff it up the best of times.
You'll know when he wants you to shut up.
So I said,
you'll know.
Okay, yeah, I think so. And I just ended it. But what I should have said is that we've got ADSL2, and I knew we had ADSL2, but we get ADSL1 speeds because we're pretty far away from the exchange.
You're a long way from the exchange, so yeah. I have exactly the same problem. Mm. Graham, however, doesn't have a problem at all. He's at the other extreme.
Living next door to it.
Situation where he's living next door to it, and he has to put up with only 48 or 52 megabits per second or something on his ADSL 2+ service.
Not quite. I'm not quite next door to the exchange. I get somewhere in the mid-teens of, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Mm.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah.
It's good for a download, mid-teens. I'm average 12 to 14, and when the kids aren't on at night, I get much faster than that as well. But I'm on the same exchange as you, Dr. Ron.
Mm.
Same provider.
You're a lot closer.
I'm a kilometre and a half closer, I reckon, and it makes all the difference.
It does make all the difference. You're right.
TPG is an internet service provider, as we alluded to half an hour ago.
Yes, sorry.
And they're expecting to see traffic times fall considerably when a new direct internet traffic route goes live next week. The route used...
Next week?
Yep. The route, yeah, you'll have to test out.
Yes.
Find a .co.jp site. Sony, go to the Sony site.
Okay.
And download some drivers and see how they go. The route used between... Or pipe networks using a submarine cable from Sydney to Guam. Now, remember they put this in... We talked about it 12 months, if not 18,
okay,
or 2 years
ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, obviously, they've got to that point where they've turned it on.
They're
putting light down it now. Mm. Anyway, but instead of forwarding the traffic from Guam to the United States and then on to Asia, as TPG had done in the past, it would route more directly from Guam to Japan, which is probably a little bit more of a direct route. Cuts out the middleman and the slowness. Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't know what time of the day or night, you'd never get too much out of the US unless, I know, it's cached here locally.
The now, one, do you need to be a member of the TPG group in order to access this?
I don't know. We're going to find out shortly, aren't we? Because we'll all try and see if our... But Graham's, you're a TPG customer, aren't you?
I am, yeah. TPG's network isn't the fastest on a good day. It's got some inherent design factors that make it not the fastest, but it does make it very inexpensive. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I would have thought that putting in this sort of capacity is not going to be just for one ISP.
You wouldn't have thought so.
That it's going to be used by a number of different providers.
Because Pipe Networks is no... It's not... provider-specific. They're their own entity, aren't they? They were bought up in the big shake-up. Anyway.
There's a certain manufacturer of motherboards and video cards and so on that operates out of Taiwan that I always get very poor speeds downloading their drivers and so on from. So I'm hoping that this might make an improvement for them.
Oh, there you go. TPG actually bought Pipe Networks.
Ah, that's so right. They did too. Now that you say that, I remember seeing that go through on the news a little while ago.
That happened in November last year.
So this will benefit all those ISPs that use Pipe, which is basically all of them.
So TPG, from a retail point of view, might have a difference of opinion out there, but obviously from their back-end point of view, they're looking to strengthen their infrastructure. If obviously in the acquisition of Pipe's network, because they bought a whole heap. Pipe used to have a lot of dark fiber in cities and things like that too, as in fiber optics that was not turned on.
That was Pipe's reason for being, was to make use of some of that.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. So there you go. Watch this space. Your homework, Graham. Check it out next week. See if it's any faster.
Yes.
Now, what happened in Internet Explorer during the course of the week, says he, looking at Graham, who's probably going, what are you going to talk to me about now? There was a zero-day flaw on IE last week.
Oh.
Microsoft confirmed about this, and it affecting all versions of its browser, including IE9.
The new one that's been out in beta.
IE9 still has problems with Twitter, but we won't go there just yet. In a security advisory released yesterday, the software giant confirmed a remote code execution vulnerability in IE. The issue had already been taken advantage of, according to Microsoft, by hackers. However, the company had yet to confirm a fix for the problem.
Ooh.
I don't like it when they go that sort of namsy-pamsy, because they know of a problem and they can't fix it. On completion of the investigation, Microsoft will take the appropriate action to protect customers, which includes an out-of-cycle security update. That means it's pretty serious.
Yeah, a security update that doesn't sit there and wait till the next patch Tuesday. As soon as they've got it ready, they'll push it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, obviously got to fix
it. It does take time.
But all browsers, that's pretty common. That'd be low level, I would imagine.
Could be.
Yeah. Do your updates, as Graham always says.
Mm.
Facebook admits its apps.
It's still there.
Yes.
I saw you asking that question rhetorically during the week on Facebook, ironically. Yes.
Yeah, it was. It was, but that's another story.
See, Facebook is... I think I have to poke you. Is it your turn to poke me? Do I have to poke you?
I don't know.
I sit up at night worrying about these things.
Do you? Yeah. Don't.
Okay.
Facebook has admitted that some of its applications violated the social networking company's policies against sharing user information.
No way.
No. And promised to fix the problem. Lydia drew this attention to this some time ago on our 300th show. Most transfers of information to other companies were inadvertent, according to the VP. Inadvertent. How inadvertent. Is that a bit like Google collecting Wi-Fi data? Oh, that was inadvertent.
Inadvertent. Yeah, we didn't know that.
Anyway, Facebook sent a letter to the to Republican Congressman Joe Barton and Democratic Congressman Edward Monkey. Monkey? That was a Freudian slip. Edward Markey.
Okay.
Sorry, no N in there. Both of whom had written to the Facebook CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, after reports about how third-party applications on Facebook were sharing data. And obviously, we've got Google, as we talked about on the beginning of the show, getting a bit angst about how Facebook is using a one-way street for data and stuff like that. So, do you still think Facebook's a good thing, Dr. Ron?
Yeah, I do. I like Facebook.
Why?
I use it every day.
Lena's not on Facebook. You're not there, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did. Actually, now I come to mention it. I'm not on Facebook. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, that's why you can't see me, because you're not on Facebook.
No, I am on Facebook.
You log on, you poke but me, you log off.
That's pretty much it.
That's all that happens.
A Qantas airplane flew over the house on the weekend. I thought, well, there's an opportunity.
So you updated your Facebook status?
So I went to Facebook and I said, Qantas just flew over, nothing fell off.
So you've got the right idea. You're almost there. You just got to...
That's Twitter, isn't it?
Yeah. It is almost...
I wasn't going to tweet that.
Andrew's usage of Facebook is almost Twitter-esque. Yes. No,
to answer your question, I use it for sharing photographs and for keeping up to date with my friends and what they're doing and seeing what people are up to. It's good. If you understand the limitations and you understand what you're doing, it's okay. As Graham said earlier, if you put your entire life there and your credit card details and your birthday and everything, then don't be surprised if people know that information.
I can download that on my Android device and it comes into my phone contacts about you.
Yeah, and then
that's the scary part.
And then people will send you a sheep and you think, well, what am I going to do with this? And that's
Farmville.
weird stuff just happens.
But you can ignore that sort of stuff.
I do.
You can ignore it, you can block it, and you don't have to use it if you don't want to.
Mm.
It's all just about choice.
No.
That's
the problem. Just say no, Graham.
Just walk away.
Just say no.
That's right.
I think I did.
It's the problem with the internet. Weird stuff just happens.
Weird stuff just happens. And Facebook is certainly no exception.
That's it. We've summed it up. We can go home now. We now know what the problem is. Speaking of weird stuff just happening, do you know last week I said that Turkey had decided to allow YouTube back into the lives of people who live in Turkey?
Yeah, the government had blocked it.
Yes. Well, they've changed their mind. Just this week, Turkey has reinstated the YouTube ban. I just thought I'd follow up on this.
Because someone on YouTube was rude about some Turkish historical figure who everybody likes.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay. A Turkish court has reinstated a 30-month ban on YouTube just days after it was removed as a dispute continued over video file sharing website's refusal to move content deemed illegal in the EU candidate country. Okay. So obviously someone said something nasty about something, so ban it. The other interesting thing, did you know there's a country called Myanmar?
Yep.
Myanmar, yeah.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Myanmar.
Myanmar. Well, apparently someone did a DDoS attack on it the other day.
Look, I just got from Graham.
I saw that.
We're going to have to fight about it now.
Myanmar is
this
what...
a penultimate fight for the
Myanmar.
Night?
Myanmar is what Australians tend to still call Burma.
Oh, is that where it is? Okay. Anyway, the place which was previously known as Burma has been hit with a sustainable, deniable...
You don't believe me when I say it, and you've read it 10 seconds later. Now, go on, carry on, Andrew.
I didn't say that. I just anyway, they got hit with a DDoS attack, which knocked the country offline for several days. Now, that's the state of the internet in a country, isn't it, when a denial-of-service attack can actually take down a whole country for a couple of days?
Well, the state of that entire country is a bit of an issue, so... Yeah.
Yes. The analysis of the attack by Arbor Networks estimates that the attack traffic... At a rate of around 10 to 15 gigabits per second. Normally, Myanmar traffic peaks well under 100 megabits per second because no one has internet there, apparently, apart from
government or food
officials.
Or anywhere to live. That's right,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's
not a very nice place to live unless you're part of the military junta that runs the place, in which case it's a very good place to live because it's one of the richest countries on the planet with some of the poorest people on the planet who
live
there.
I saw some very interesting stuff on the ABC the other night about it, hidden camera stuff in there. Mm. Speaking of the ABC... Mm. Last Monday night when we were on air, Dr. Ron was watching television. Dr. Ron was watching the Four Corners report. Because he talked about it on the opening
talked about
of the
it
program,
in the news, didn't I?
Which I thought was really quite interesting. Now, yes. I must admit, having I jumped on iView during the course of the week, and it's worth having a bit of a look at. This is all the nastiness, deceitfulness of going on with one of Australia's biggest money-making banks. And it's not one of the big four, and the telco companies, which I thought was really quite interesting about how they bundle all these things, like, you know, sign up for our phone plan and you'll get A, B, C, D, and E
sign up
free.
For our phone plan and you'll get a free television after 2 years or whatever, or you get a free mobile phone or free office furniture, all sorts of good stuff, and you end up paying five times what that free stuff is actually worth.
So that's not really free, is it?
It's not free at all.
But
no.
It's the fact that they blatantly went about deceiving the consumer, which is really what everyone's got their nelly in a knot about, really, isn't it? And to have a big bank behind it and to see the overinflated invoice prices which Four Corners produced, you know, television sets worth... The thing that got me, there was a mobile phone or something like that was worth $6,000, which they signed off on the invoice for financing.
$6,000 mobile phone. So it was diamond encrusted, made of platinum. Mm.
Yeah, yeah. And with a cracked screen.
And with a cracked screen. Lena had used it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lena had been loaned
this is,
it.
This is why we can't have nice things.
She'd thrown it at her car.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Dear, but I just thought, that's
the bank, of course, was the Macquarie Bank. They named it on Four Corners.
Oh, they did, didn't they?
Yes, that's
they
who
did.
They're alleging is involved.
But didn't Macquarie ended up buying it, didn't they? Because it started off at Company A, Company B, Company C, and then worked their way through to the Macquarie Bank, who ended up buying them all out.
I think so. And Macquarie is... No, allegedly, Macquarie is now being investigated by the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission.
I like Graham Simmons. He's a good bloke.
in the scheme.
But it's too good to be true, those sort of things. Why would you go, well, I guess that's a pretty simple answer. I'm going to answer my own question. But you've got to look at, you know, if someone offers you something and it's too good, you know, here, have a plasma, have a LCD, have a trip to wherever, and it's free just by signing up for a, you know, $80, $100 a month phone bill. Warning, warning.
I suppose there are rewards programs that do that that obviously have a high level of credibility. Like, I'm thinking of other rewards programs where you accrue points for spending money. You're spending
like
the money.
Like a credit card.
Well, yeah, you're spending the money anyway, and it's money that you would otherwise have spent on,
yeah, but
on things.
You know that built into the charges somewhere is enough extra extra money to cover what you're getting as a reward.
Yeah. Well, potentially, but maybe you're going to spend.
You know, when you go shopping at Safeway or Woolworths or Coles, that they've built into the price enough extra, an odd extra cent here and there.
Oh, yeah.
To pay for that 4 cents a litre for the petrol that they give you for free.
Yeah, but if that's where you normally go shopping, you're paying that extra anyway, so you might as well.
Why wouldn't you take advantage of what's being offered?
That's what I'm saying. That's built in there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you buy two chockies worth X dollars, it gets 8 cents a litre off.
There you go.
Yeah, that's good like that.
And if you buy a $6,000 mobile phone, then, yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit strange, isn't it?
Yeah, you probably... Yeah, or to know what's happening to you then as well.
That's being subsidised somehow.
Mm.
All right, this is Tech Talk Radio. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show, Tech Talk Radio.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened during the course of the week.
It's a new experience, agreeing with
Senator
Conroy.
It's hard, isn't it? And Julia.
The more they lock it down, the more people will work around it.
Is it?
I don't know. I just tried to unlock Andrew's phone with my passcode.
If you're going to cross the road, look both ways.
Entertaining.
So no more pub runs.
No more pub runs.
Informative.
Look, I agree with you, Graham.
Independent.
I can feel a churn coming on.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
I mentioned the word Optus, so I think you've thrown it.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
Let's talk about Xserve, shall we? Xserve is an Apple server product which got discontinued during the course of the week. JD, tell us about it.
They're a wonderful machine. I own one.
It was a one rack unit device, if I remember.
It's a one unit device, so that means it's one unit high.
Yep.
Pizza box server.
Very, very deep. And has the power of Apple's high-end machine. So it's like the Mac Pro, going back a few years. It's like the Mac Pro in terms of its hardware, but it's in a one-unit rack mount, which is just amazing. They're a bit noisy, but they're amazingly configurable, and they're the only real Apple machine that I'm aware of that you can configure remotely, in that they will alarm and send the alarms out remotely to server monitors. You used to be able to get a cluster of them together. You could run them as a cluster server. You could run them individually. You could do them as redundant servers. All the sorts of things you can do with a proper server.
And what did you run on them, JD? OS 10?
OS 10 server, yes.
OS 10 server. And now Apple has discontinued.
Well, OS 10 server as a product, software product, is still available. You can run it on any of the Apple products,
yep,
if you're silly enough to, because it does take a lot of overhead.
He said it.
Yeah. Well, OS 10 is the workstation, so OS 10 server is the back end.
You think about it, there's a lot of people out there. It'd be like saying Microsoft saying we're going to drop server 2008 and just focus on
domestic. No, it's not.
Is a piece of hardware we're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But they're keeping the software.
And that's the thing. Are they keeping the software? They're keeping the support.
They'll keep the software because OS 10 server runs on a lot of things other than Xserve's. Xserve's just the high-end enterprise hardware that you run it on.
But that's got to be a big nail in the coffin if they're going to start removing hardware out of the equation for a lot of people, because there'd be a lot of graphic design companies that want that.
It's pretty expensive. I mean, the Mac Pros are expensive enough. The Xserves are even more expensive, or were. They're being discontinued on the 31st of January next year, and they're going to continue stocks of parts through to the end of the year or until they run out.
So is it worth snapping one up if you still can?
Yeah, you might see some bargains coming along. So if you're like me and you want a server at home that's top end, probably worth watching eBay or similar relatively soon, because I think these will start getting offloaded that companies can bring on the Mac Pros.
Is there a replacement?
Well, the Mac Pro will do the same thing. They're just a much bigger box, and they generate a lot more heat. So you can do it.
And it doesn't mount in the rack. It sits on the floor.
Can't be.
Well, you can rack mount them. You just got to turn them on their side and get a custom panel made. But you can do it. It's just difficult. Or there is the Mac Mini server, which came out, I think, 18 months, 2 years ago. So it's a tiny, tiny box, the size of any other Mac Mini. Doesn't have an optical drive in it. Instead, it has two hard drives, so you can run it as a mirrored array or similar in terms of RAID.
So this is a sort of a service for small businesses that want to run a Mac network.
Yeah, or your home. Yeah.
Okay, yep.
So anyway, our death of the Xserve, bit sad. It's not unusual for Apple to bring a nice server to market and then get rid of it. The Apple Network server back in the mid-90s, I have four of those. They're beautiful, but they're enormous. the Xserve is the same. It's a lovely beast to have. That's why I bought one, just to say I had one and to play with it and, you know, fawn over it, all that sort of stuff. So, yes, a sad day for Apple.
You going to bring any of your Apple antiques along for the OB to show people?
I could bring some of the Newtons along.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be good, a bit of show and tell.
Could bring the Newtons along, in fact.
Oh, dearie me. Look what we've done.
Big back of the Newtons.
Okay. Lena Van Deventer is new to the Tech Talk Radio crew, as you're all down aware. You're like, who's the chicky baby you've got on the radio these days? Well, she's great. She tells us all about gaming things, something that we've always wanted to know about because we're not gamers, but she is. What's news this week, Lena?
This week I'd like to talk about, if I have a microphone, yes, I'd like to talk about...
she wants a panel now.
Cop that, panelist.
Yo, button presser. Press the button. I'd like to talk about Christmas. Christmas is coming up.
It is.
And about Christmas lists and what we're going to get the kids. No, God, no. I'm not an organised person in any way, shape or form. No. My grandmother used to have everything done by October.
How's this done?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, I can't even. No, I'm one of those.
I didn't do it either.
I'm one of those Christmas Eve maniacs.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
Oh dear. Watch out, it's Myers. Here she comes.
Yep. But I was thinking about maybe doing the next few shows on this same topic and applying it to different age groups.
Mm-hmm.
This one being the youngest age group, so 0 to about 12, 13, and then the next one I might do teen.
That's
gamers.
A very broad spectrum.
It is.
In gaming.
It is. But there's a fair bit of wiggle room in there.
Is there? Because I wouldn't think too many younger sub-5-year-olds would be playing post-8-year-old games.
Well, no.
No.
But you know.
Okay, off you go. Sorry.
I had to draw the line somewhere. Yeah. And it's nice and neat to say children gamers, teen gamers, adult gamers.
Well, I'm in the kiddie game thing. We've got a PlayStation 3. What am I getting for the kids?
Okay.
What am I getting for the kids?
I've got some of the most popular titles. We'll go with Super Mario Galaxy 2 for the Wii. If you've got a Wii, that's the best-selling game on the Wii, I think.
Super Mario is the best-selling game ever, isn't it? It's fantastic.
Yeah. Sold 5.1 million copies worldwide.
Wow.
That's a lot.
It is.
That's a lot.
So this is one of those jump around, pick things up, explore the sort of...
The guy in the red hat, Luigi. Luigi, him.
And Mario.
Can you tell? I don't play it.
And Yoshi and Peach. It's a platformer. All your levels are galaxies.
A platformer.
Yeah.
That's the technical term.
That's the genre.
Yeah.
And it means you jump from platform to platform, et cetera, et cetera.
And you pick up shiny things and you look for jumping on things or...
Power-ups and that kind of thing. Great new levels to explore, all that. Suitable for all ages, whoever can hold a controller. There'll be nothing in a Mario game that will be not suitable for little ones. Another one for the Wii would be Disney Guilty Party. It's apparently a family game. It's all a sort of a detective mystery.
Are these all the same price brackets, just out of curiosity, or are they vary in pricing?
Some of them vary in pricing. Super Mario Galaxy you'll probably get for about 50, 60.
Yep.
Disney Guilty Party, I actually don't know how much that would go for. I'm guessing it'd be around the 40, 50 mark, if not cheaper.
Now, do you get these at the gaming shops, like in the made shopping centres and things like that? They carry all these sort of games? Yeah,
definitely, yeah. Between EB, JB and... Harvey Norman or, any of those, you'll find whatever you're looking for.
Mm.
Or you can buy online as well. But, Disney Guilty Party is a mystery party game.
And which platform?
For the Wii.
The Wii.
Yep.
Okay.
It's...
Don't have a Wii. Anyone got a Wii?
We've got a Wii.
Have you?
Mm. We like the Wii.
The Queen has a Wii.
Does she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
The Royal Wii.
Does she? Betty?
Yeah.
She's got an iPod too.
Apparently. Very funny.
And a Facebook account too.
Are you kidding me?
No, just got one apparently.
Did she?
Oh. Mm.
But you can't have her as a friend.
Why not?
Oh, no. Because you can't speak until you're spoken to.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh.
But we digress.
Yeah.
Back to the video games.
Yes. That's another good one for the PS3, since you wanted to know about that one, is called Mod Nation Races.
Mod? What's that about?
That's a kart racing game.
Oh, now, really?
It's called
Multiple controllers?
Yes.
Oh, great.
It's called Mod Nation because you can modify your little cart. So it's all based on user-generated content, and you can sort of make a little Spider-Man cart or a little, you know, Batman cart, or dress him up however you like.
Can you make it more powerful?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
You can do all sorts of things with
it. How much?
So, that's probably about your 40, 50, 60 around there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Can you get it online, or do you have to go to the shop for that one? Because I've got the Sony PlayStation online.
I'm pretty sure you can get that on the PSN.
Download it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can.
That's a great way that works, actually.
Mm.
Can be very expensive. Don't let the kids get their way. Yes. Don't let them have your credit card number. Mm. It's all bad.
Another one for the Xbox Live Arcade and the PS3 is Costume Quest. Now, I talked about this last week.
You did.
Because I just finished it, and it's so much fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Costume. Tell the people about Costume Quest that weren't listening last week. What is Costume Quest?
It's an adventure role-playing game.
Drag queens?
No.
Oh, sorry.
It's an adventure role-playing game, and it's got JRPG influences. So it's got...
It's got what?
Japanese role-playing games. Okay. Are very, Japanese, very stylized. Well,
come on, keep up.
Hang on. And you thought our acronyms were bad. This gaming acronyms. Too many TLAs.
Hasn't got DQIs. They're the drag queen influences. No. It's got the...
WAP. It's got the WAF.
That's right. WAF. It's got good WAF, JRPGs.
I have to get that disc out again.
NDQIs.
It's got a little bit of cartoon violence, but nothing gory. In terms of cartoon violence, in terms of your aim is to take them down. But they won't have an untimely demise in terms of blood or guts or anything like that. They'll just sort of fall down. So yeah.
Like in Roadrunner, they get blown up and
pretty
then they're
much,
back in the next frame. Is that
nothing you won't see in any other cartoon, yeah. So it's... all these monsters have come into your neighbourhood to steal all the lollies on Halloween.
Oh, speaking of Halloween,
yes,
Angry Birds Halloween.
Oh, I haven't played the update yet.
Haven't you?
No.
Okay.
I should though.
Go and have a look.
Yeah, I will.
I like screaming pigs.
So you go around trick or treating, and some of the houses have monsters in them, and some of them don't. And every monster you come across triggers a battle sequence, and that's sort of the JRPG influence. And it's so much fun. A great my first RPG for kids. To sort of get used to the questing, role-playing game.
Rocket Pie.
Even I know that one.
We'll keep working through these until they sink in, okay?
I'll put a poster up on
the wall.
Thank you. But yeah, that's a good first
My father-in-law will be listening going, what is she talking about?
RPG used to mean Radio Parts Group.
It still does.
Buy you bits and pieces, yeah.
Oh, that was rocket-propelled grenade.
What industry do you work in?
I work in the IT industry like you.
And it's got a USB controller. I've seen those.
That's it, really? Oh, I want one of those.
Another good my first RPG, specifically probably a little bit more for boys. It's got a definite boy humour to it because there's lots of poo jokes, etc.
Girls like that girls too, don't you?
Yeah, girls like poo jokes too, don't get me wrong. But it's called Death Spank, and that's it's sort of a caricature of your overly macho heroes, and you play this overly macho hero going on his little quests and kicking chickens, etc.
Kicking chickens.
Yes.
Doesn't sound terribly macho to me.
By accident,
Dr. Hugh Worth know about this, does he?
Yeah. If you've got your iPad, your iPhone, or your iPod Touch, you can play Cut the Rope. That's a good new
game. Cut the Rope.
I've seen that on the actual... Angry Birds.
Is it?
Yep. It's the new Angry Birds.
Worth a download, is it?
Definitely worth a download. That's $1.19.
Now, that's what I call good value for money for Christmas.
Yeah. That's a little puzzler that you help feed the monster candy by cutting the rope, and the lolly will drop into his mouth. Obstacles come in the way to make that harder and harder.
Mums and dads, that sounds like a good one for the car trip, for the iGadget in the back of the car.
It'll look great on the iPad.
Would it?
Yeah, it would look great.
Have they got an iPad version? Because I noticed some games work on the iPhone, which is a small screen. And then they do a buy two upscale to the big screen type sort of thing.
It's done by Chillingo, so they're pretty reputable. So I would guess that they'd have an iPad version for that.
Oh, good.
I haven't checked myself.
It's a bit disappointing when you buy it and you go, oh, it's up-resed.
Yeah, it is a bit.
All right, so that's Cut the Rope. I'm going to get that.
Yep. Yeah. Another good iOS game is Sally's Spa.
iOS for Apple operating system. Sally's Spa.
Sally's Spa.
Now, what does Sally get up to?
Sally has a health spa.
Spa, S-P-A.
Yes.
Okay.
What does this PA
stand
for?
As in, you know, where women go to relax.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
It's not a TLA, it's a word.
Yeah, it's a word.
Right. I'm with you. I'm keeping up.
Sorry.
Hang in there, Dr. Ron.
Acronym warning.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
It's a time management game where you're dealing with this spa, and all your customers come in and they want certain things done, a manicure, pedicure, spa, sauna, this kind of thing. And it gets quite hectic as more customers come in and all that. And it can be quite fun. It's a kid's game, but I loved it. Absolutely loved it and 100%ed it full perfect score on every level. Try and beat that.
Okay. You've got too much spare time on your hands. I'm from the
No, I just make time for it.
Either that or your small person in your family sleeps a lot.
He does. Yeah, he does sleep a lot. Yeah.
What about your husband? He must sleep a lot too. He go to bed, will you? Turn it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Warlocks.
Oh, yep.
In the chat room, daughter loves Sally's Spa.
Yeah.
He did a YouTube review.
Oh, Sally's fantastic.
Spa. There you go. So what are you doing in Sally's Spa? Explain
you weren't paying attention, were you?
Yeah,
there's,
I was.
There's multiple stations in the level. So you've got, say, your sauna, your bubble bath, your manicure, pedicure, your massage table, etc.
See, he's glazing over now. I can see.
And the customers come in.
Right.
And they have little bubbles above their head that say you want to go to a certain station.
Right.
And more keep coming in, and you've got to get them off the station and do what they want doing and get them out and try and get break your sales targets, etc. Yeah.
Right.
So it's a modern version of Lemonade Stand.
Pretty much. Mm. Yeah. It's a time management type, you know, almost tycoonish in a way. But,
what platform? Yeah,
that was for the iOS.
iOS.
Yep.
Which means all the iPods and iPads and
gadgets,
iPhones and things.
Yep. Because it's annoying saying and how much iPhone, is that iPad, iPod Touch.
Is that $1.19 or $2 or something like that?
Yeah, something like excellent. That. Yeah, very cheap and good value. Really good replayability, and the difficulty gets more as you go along, and it's good. And the last three, the big thing this Christmas, I think, is going to be the Kinect.
Yes.
For the younger kids, not so much for the older, but for the young kids.
So run us through the Kinect again. It's a plug-on to your Xbox.
Xbox 360.
Yeah, and it's about 100 to 50 to 200 bucks if I've seen.
But 120, 160, 180 around there somewhere. You'll start seeing some price drops as people are desperate for your business. But the main three titles that I can gather that the kids will be going nuts for is Kinectimals, which is, if you've seen some footage from E3 this year, you would have seen that was the...
What's E3?
Tiger, the Electronic Expo.
Sorry, we're catching up here. E3 Electronic, good.
Electronic Entertainment Expo, so it's the three E's.
Okay, E-E-E. E-cubed.
But they had a little Tiger
Ron
called
has a magazine
Skittles.
Called T3, did you know?
No.
I subscribe to T3 magazine.
Yeah, that's why I was getting very confused.
That's altogether different.
it's a little Tiger that you can play with on the thing. And there's also... Kinect Sports, your bowling, boxing, track and field, hurdle, sprint, javelin, discus, long jump, ping pong, football, volleyball, all that sort of stuff. It's a lot like
the
Wii Sports.
You've covered the whole spectrum.
It's a lot like the Wii Sports, but it's for the Kinect.
That sounds really good, actually, and especially if they're going to be jumping and moving around. Because that's what you want as a parent. You want them to be physically active.
Yeah, well, this is going to get those kids off the couch for sure.
Excellent.
Definitely. And they don't have to hold a controller like the Wii or the PlayStation Move.
So, JD, no flinging it into your television set.
We haven't flung anything into the TV, but I like the idea of no dead controllers hanging around.
Yeah, no batteries.
Mm. When you think about it, that's good because, like, your average controller is $100 to replace by the time you go and buy a new one or something like that. So that's got to be good.
What's an Xbox 360 going to set me back if I want to have the Kinect plug-in?
A fair bit. Probably about... For the latest version, the 360 Slim, you're looking at probably about $499.
Okay.
$440 maybe.
So not much change out of $500, and then
it's a big decision to make, isn't it?
$150 for your Kinect.
Yeah.
On top of that.
It's a big ask if you're not in the market already. If you don't want one anyway.
Are there added benefits with the 360, like as in like you get with the PlayStation with all the media access and
not so much the media access, but in terms of what you get for the Slim, the new one versus the older version, is built-in Wi-Fi, which you had to buy an adapter to do that in the past. And
everything's got built-in Wi-Fi these days.
Yeah,
even the tellies.
Xbox took a long time to catch on to that. A really long time.
Microsoft? Come on. Okay.
But Warlock on the chat's just said $558 for the
4 gig Xbox and Kinect.
Yeah, I think he means
big ask.
I don't think 4 gigs. Quite right.
Really?
But yeah.
Okay.
More like 250 gig.
Okay. 4 gig. Yeah, 4 gig's a bit shy.
It's not very big.
Is that the memory in it as opposed to the hard disk storage?
You must be talking about that. Yeah, not the storage. Okay. Right. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Gig, he says.
Yes.
Yeah, 250 gig is plus $100.
Yeah. So it is a fair bit of outlay, but I think for the Kinect, if you've got small kids, you're definitely going to get your money's worth.
So is the Kinect really the way to go?
For the small,
would you say at the moment?
For the small children, I think that's what they are going to be wanting because the ads have just started now and every kid's going to look at those ads and go, I need that, because it's very cute. The little tiger that you play with on the connectimals and everything, the kids are going to go, oh, my God.
So maybe Microsoft are on a winner.
I was going to say, my six-year-old playing the Wii had a lot of trouble getting used to which orientation to put the controller and trying to swing in the golf club and all that was really very hard for him until, you know, he had a lot of practice. Whereas I think the Kinect will be really obvious.
Yeah, it will. And I think anyone can walk up to it and work it.
Are there limitations with the Kinect as to how many people can play or how many people it recognises? Is there a limit or anything like that? Or can everyone in the family bring their friends along and everyone can get in there and do stuff?
I've never thought about it, actually.
It's all new, isn't it?
I've only ever seen two people at once playing on it. But I'm sure it can do more than that. That's just what I've seen. But, the other title that actually comes with the camera is Kinect Adventures, which is that's the one that we were talking about last week, I think, with the whitewater rafting and a few of the sort of more adventure.
I think I've seen that on YouTube. Do you actually talk to this device? How do you communicate with it?
Yeah, you talk to it. You say Xbox on, Xbox Play Movie,
and,
Xbox
and
Play.
How does it go with the Australian accent?
Not too well.
See, that's going to be the next big thing. Are people going to be disappointed because you have to talk in American to it?
On
our best American accents?
I don't think it's going to be ready for an Australian accent on launch. But I would say it wouldn't be too far after launch. If they don't get it done by launch, it will be soon after that they send out an update.
Mm. Very good. All right, so that's the Xbox 360 / Kinect and all the games. They sound really quite exciting, I think.
Yeah.
That's if I didn't have a game console, I'd be leaning in that general direction.
Yeah, it's a good time to be a young gamer because there's a lot coming at. Yeah. The latest E3 that I was talking about before, there was a lot of hardcore gamers getting a little bit upset, feeling a little bit underserved that was all about kids and not
kiddie
about
games.
Yeah. and not about them. But a general note, when you are Christmas shopping for a gamer,
yeah.
If we put something on our Christmas list, a certain game, we want that certain game. Don't just say, well, they're a gamer, so I'll go in and buy them a game. You don't walk into a CD shop and say, well, she likes music, so I'll buy her a CD and not have any idea of what kind of music they like. We have styles of games that we like. We have styles we don't like. If they're asking for Call of Duty Modern Warfare, don't get them Cooking Mama. You know what I mean? We have specific tastes and things that we like. If you don't think that's appropriate, if you're a parent and you don't think that they should be playing that game they're asking for, talk to them, see what else they like. Don't just buy them something that you've asked the person at the shop or...
People who are buying presents for gamers for Christmas, you've been warned.
Yes. We don't like
all
games.
Pay attention.
We don't like all games. We like the games we like and that's it.
Mm.
But also a reminder as well to be aware of what your kids are playing. Check some gameplay videos on YouTube. Read some reviews. Be aware of what they're playing and make sure it's age appropriate, because you can't rely on our classic.
Does YouTube have everything in relation to the games?
Pretty
like
much.
All the trailers? Because a trailer is like a feature film. A video game is like a feature film these days. It comes with a trailer and excerpts and snippets and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have like interviews with designers to talk about
it? Oh, absolutely,
you've got everything there that you need online on YouTube to actually make an educated decision if it's right for your family.
A lot of games, you can even witness an entire walkthrough of the game. You can watch the whole game being played on YouTube before you buy it for your child.
If you've got time to kill. But it's an option that's there for parents if you need to do that.
And if it's, you know, if your children are fairly small, they're not going to be 40, 80-hour games. So, you know, you probably can sit down over two nights and watch the whole game, make sure that everything's kosher with you and that you're comfortable with it.
But it wouldn't take you too long to get a bit of a feel for what the gameplay is, would it?
Yeah, no, it's pretty good just from reading a few reviews and seeing what other countries have rated it as. You can make an educated decision.
Yeah, because we don't have the rating that matters, do we?
No, we don't.
No, that's bizarre.
Don't listen to ours, they're rubbish.
No.
Yeah.
All right, Lena, thank you very much. Good insight into what to go shopping for. And you're going to give us the next age group on next week.
Teen gamers next.
That's going to be the scary part.
That's going to be a tricky one in terms of what's suitable and what's not.
Yeah, because that's really going to push the limits into that
that
uncharted water of, we don't have that rating classification for in this country, isn't it right?
What a 13-year-old wants to play and what a 17-year-old wants to play. You know, it's in the same group, but they're very, very different games.
Yeah.
And again, what they want to play and what you want them to play might not be the same thing.
Yeah, that's when the being aware really comes into it.
I've just had an interesting experience. I've just gone to the Xbox Australia homepage and I've clicked on where to buy, and it's come up with a list of some major and some less major retailers. Mm-hmm. And I recognised one of the retailer names. I clicked on it
and it took me straight to an error page on that retailer's website. So that's really well done for the people who's designing those things. Sorry, we have encountered a problem.
Warlock on our chat has come up and said the Kinect is capable of simultaneously tracking up to 6 people, including 2 active players for motion analysis.
Yeah, whatever.
2 active players.
So 2 at a time.
So you get up there and you can 2 of you can dance and the rest have to sit on the couch.
Yep.
Well, what happens when the dog jumps up at you while you're dancing around like a moron in the middle of your living room? And the
Dr. Ron, what you do in your spare time is completely up to you.
Suffering succotash. This has to be the best technology show on the internet. Technolog Radio.
Listen up for the final episode of 2010. Tech Talk Radio will be broadcasting live from the Sophia Family Restaurant in Burwood East, Monday the 6th of December at 7 p.m. Meet the panel, enjoy Sophia's world-famous hospitality, and be part of Tech Talk Radio's first outside broadcast. Make your reservation now by calling Sophia on 03-9803-5299. Sophia Family Restaurant is a proud sponsor of Tech Talk Radio's 2010 end-of-year extravaganza.
Doctor on listening to the stream.
Furious.
Correct. No.
There's Tony Abbott, are you listening? Wireless is not the answer.
Wacko, I say.
Oh, did you download it?
I did.
I downloaded it too and I thought, what the?
It was brilliant until the power supply went up.
What's the WAF like?
The WAF is very, very high. It has high WAF.
Entertaining.
He's had the little chip put in the back of his neck.
Informative.
I suppose I may as well just throw that one out.
Independent.
Yeah. I was watching you on Latitude.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
I'm on a plane.
Can you hear me?
I'm on a plane.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
Cool! This thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Spooky gadget this week for those hyper parents who must know exactly they must know exactly what their kindergartner is doing at every moment of their waking lives. A child monitoring experiment in Japan is using technology which allows parents to see what their child is actually seeing. Described as a unique child safety device, the gadget monitors the location of your child, shows you what they're seeing, and can even record heart rate and other medical information. If a child's heart rate is faster than usual, for example, the gadget can snap a photo of the child's point of view and alert parents via email.
See the angry carer.
So how does this work? Does this have an implant in the child's head or something? How does it?
It's something like that. The device has like something that the child wears, say has a little camera and has medical sensors and things. The device's makers, a team led by Sung-hee Lee at the University of Tsukaba, say carers could use it to identify bullying, for instance. Could also reveal if a child is separated from other device-wearing children. A password-protected website allows parents to access an activity log and photos taken during the day.
Does it have a Google access to Latitude so they can see where the kid is at all times?
It's got a GPS receiver, digital compass, an accelerometer with gyroscope, a camera, heart rate monitor. It's got everything. That's the gadget, Andrew. It doesn't have a name.
What about an inertia meter?
It's just the... So you can know when they're falling over and they're about to skin their knees.
So if a helicopter parent is a parent that hangs around a lot, what is this?
This is for hyper parents.
Hyper. Yeah. Keep off the drugs, guys.
Absolutely. That's our gadget of the week, Andrew. The Japanese unique child safety device.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
Instagram. instagram.com Fast and beautiful photo sharing for your iPhone. Instagram is a fun and quirky way to share your life with friends through a series of pictures. Simply snap a photo with your iPhone, then choose a filter to transform the look and feel of the shot into a memory to keep around forever. The creators of Instagram are building the platform to allow you to experience moments in your friends' lives through pictures as they happen. It's a free application on the iTunes Store. Instagram currently offers 11 different custom filters.
You've shot Graham down. He can't find it because he's a PC guy.
I'm just flabbergasted.
Really?
They've developed 11 different custom filters to transform colours, mood, border and tonality of your photos. All of these were produced from scratch by the Instagram team. That's a bit of fun.
It does sound like a bit of fun,
doesn't it?
Load
it up on your iPhone and have a look at the website, Instagram, instagr.am.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Missed it by that much.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Don't ask! For God's sakes, don't ask!
Houston, we have a problem.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
It's been revealed at a film festival in Belfast that in Charlie Chaplin's film The Circus, made in the 1920s, an elderly lady can be seen walking from right to left, holding and talking on a mobile telephone.
Oh, that's spooky.
In the opening scene of the silent movie, a statue of a zebra appears in front of a circus tent. There's a crowd of people, men and women are walking past. Suddenly, a woman in her 60s or 70s walks past in the background, holding a mobile telephone to her left ear, clearly engaged in conversation.
Was it Nokia?
Online forum discussions have revolved around identifying the make and model of the handset being used, the pointlessness of a time traveller, taking a mobile phone back in time, given that there wouldn't be a phone network available to place calls, or even speculation that the whole thing is one big viral marketing exercise.
But in Doctor Who, your mobile phone works for the
That's TARDIS, right, it does. It does indeed.
Yes, it certainly does, yes, absolutely.
Well, maybe that's what it is. But if you Google time traveller Charlie Chaplin, you'll be able to find YouTube clips of the actual footage, and you can find it slowed right down and zoomed right into the lady holding her mobile phone and talking as she walks across the screen.
Ooh.
That's the odd spot, Andrew, for this week, the Charlie Chaplin time traveller.
Yeah, conspiracy theories. We know what you like with the conspiracy theories.
Oh, I love them. I love them. Absolutely. They're great. Well,
that's Tech Talk Radio for the week. We've just a reminder, we've got our big shenanigans coming along on the December the 6th, which Dr. Ron is organising. He can be solely held accountable for all, which is going
to
be a good night, actually.
I have to now. Absolutely. I can't believe you took me seriously. All right, so it's Sophia Family Restaurant. Make sure you RSVP. Call Sophia 03-9803-5299. So let them know how many of you are attending. And as we said earlier in the program, $17.50 for a set meal. It's licensed, BYO, and all that good stuff. Plenty of car parking.
What are we going to talk about?
It'll be just I don't know. We just do a normal show. It's not just going to be a normal show.
It'll,
it's going to
be
impossible
like
a normal show, but it will be like a Tech Talk Radio, won't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Nothing like it. And Christmas obviously coming up, so it's a good reason to do it in a lot of respects. So should be good. Come along wherever you are, except for our, well, I don't know, some of our interstate listeners might get a minibus.
Road trip.
Yeah. Sorry it's a Monday night, but that's when we're on the radio. So
there's a rumour that Warlock's organising a bus, and he's going to hire a bus, and everyone in Sydney, well, they're going to do a drive down.
Could do the guys from Catherine, AKTR, they could go across to Queensland, pick up the Queenslanders, come down the side of the...
I don't see why not.
Yeah, one hell of a long trip. Well, maybe we should do next... Well, actually, there's a thought we could
do. Yeah, they'd have to leave tomorrow, I think,
The next one we'll do on the Garn or something like that between Adelaide and...
No!
I'd be in that. That'd be great.
No, I'm not going to try and work out how to leap back from the Garn back to the studio.
Oh, dear. That'd be a statistical nightmare.
Do you want a real challenge?
Yeah,
no!
Absolutely. All right.
So how are we going to get the radio signal to go from Sophia's back to...
I'm working on it.
Back to the...
I've got a very, very long extension cable.
Excellent. Watch out, the trams will cut it over when they go across the railway track, won't they?
Think of that.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Well, there you go. Something to think about for next week. Still same time, same channel. This is Tech Talk Radio. We'll be back and we'll do it again next week. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, panellists Justin Dunlop, Graham Callaghan and Lena van der Venter. Expert opinion is provided by Adam Turner, and our US correspondents are Lydia Davis and Mark Diggins. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. The show is broadcast, recorded and streamed live each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wishes to thank all the stations around Australia that rebroadcast Tech Talk Radio each week. Tech Talk Radio is also available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising inquiries, call 03-8682-9099 or visit our website techtalkradio.com.au for more information. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.